lift off and the clock has started.
Is this 290 or is this 291?
This is 290.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 291, recording on April 16th, 2024. My name is not Zach Anderson. It's actually Shannon. And this week, I don't know. We don't have much to talk about. Zach has, disappeared again into the wilds. I think... the Sharks did really bad this season, and I think it's coming to an end. So I think he's just, he's out pouring one out for the Tiburones. But I'm not alone. I have my boy, Justin, trapped in Tar Carter. What's going on here? I should have read that first.
It's your boy. Well, it's even funnier because when you started the episode, you said 291 after 5 seconds earlier. I literally confirmed for you that it was 290. And then when you said 291, I was sitting there. I was like, this motherfucker literally just asked me what the episode number was.
Well, at least at least you have it in the cold open. You could just put it right there. Like, I asked the question what episode this is, and then you give me the answer, and then I completely ignore you, which is part of the course.
Yes, no, that is in there. But your boy's doing good. Yes, I did Trapped in Tar because, as you and Zach knew, this weekend I was in California.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not the area you guys are in, but I was in Los Angeles.
Okay. Oh, by the Brea Tar Pits?
Yeah. We stayed in K-Town, and then we went to the Tar Pits. We went to Japanese gardens, outdoor gardens and stuff, and we went to a art museum as well. All very cool. I did my first escape room.
Oh, nice. How'd you do?
We beat it, and we had I think a little over 7 minutes left to spare. We had to ask for hints a couple times, but there was no penalty for asking for hints.
Okay,
which was nice, but we got stuck a couple times, but we got through it all. And the guy was like, you know what? You guys actually did really good. And most of the stuff that we asked for hints on, we were pretty much there. We had a general idea of what to do. It was just kind of couldn't quite figure it out. So we need that extra little nudge. But
now when you go into an escape room, are you I guess I should gauge this by how you play Overcooked. When you play Overcooked, are you yelling at people or are you just casually enjoying the game itself?
Okay, well put a pin in that, because when you play Overcooked, Shannon, I feel like everybody goes in with the first half intention of just, we'll talk this out. Communication is key in the kitchen, but it always ends in the dipshit. We need a hamburger and tomato. Why are you grabbing two tomatoes? I have tomatoes. I need you to get that shit chopped and in the pan right now. We're about to lose this order. That's how that always goes. But we stayed calm in the escape room. Since this was my first one, I can't really compare it to anything. But I was very much as we walked. So the premise for the room is we were buried in a cabin, snowed in, and we had to find a way out.
Gotcha.
And so we walk in the cabin. There's all I will say the production value in this was actually really good. It was pretty top notch. I was thoroughly, because I've seen some, on TV and whatever, where it's they just kind of look whatever. But this had we walked in, there was deer head, whatever, mounted in this cabin on the wall, but it was a Billy Big Mouth fucking bass talking to you.
Okay.
And he was narrating this entire experience for you. And we had to sit there and figure out how to turn on the TV and whatever. And there was dials, and there was almost a snow globe type thing of the cabin, whatever, that pertained to a map on the wall. But as soon as the Billy Big Mass little deer was talking to me, though, I was kind of listening, but I'm like, all right, I'm pulling stuff out. I'm like shaking everything. I'm like, all right, something, like, I'm checking the entire room. I'm like, this is fastened down. I'm like, this is fucking creepy. I don't know what this is, but I'm sure that's going to come into play later. And was figuring it out. But we got through the first room, and then it unlocked this, there was a fireplace in that room, and like, it was a false fireplace, and it opened up a door, and we had to hunch down and then go into it. And all of a sudden, then it was like a fucking lab, and there was like a severed like body and stuff, like frozen and like glasses and stuff. And then we had to do some shit with that. And then like, I got teleported into like an alien room, and we had to use this D12 thing, whatever. And I had to escape out of that. And then the door from like where we went, that door opens back to the previous room. Except it was no longer the previous room and was like a version of the first room, but it was like solid white and like shit was slightly different. It had like a light puzzle in it and stuff, and it was like insane. And then it ended into opening into like an ER room, and there was like bloody handprints on the wall, and you had to like do like almost Simon Says, like whatever, hit them in a very specific order based off this like VHS tape in the other room that someone had to like read off to us. And so, yeah, and then we won and then we got to escape. But no, it was really cool. It was a lot more like intense and crazy than I thought it was going to be. I had a lot of fun.
And how long did the whole experience take?
I think it only took us like 30 minutes total.
That's a lot to traverse in like 30 minutes worth of time.
No, it was a lot. Like, that's why we were like going. And apparently they have like a couple other ones there. That are a little bit longer and like a little more intensive. Like, that was kind of like, I guess, beginner level. And then they had like two intermediate rooms and then like a hard whatever. And the hard one, I think, takes like almost an hour to do.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Was it reasonably priced?
Yeah, I think it was like, I want to say it was maybe like $30 a person or something like that. Like, cool. Which, yeah, wasn't too bad. For, like, that level of experience, that was a lot of fun. So, I definitely think that was worth it.
Cool.
I also saw a Tesla Cybertruck for the first time in person. It was so fucking weird. It looked like I came out of the escape room place and immediately saw it. And I felt like it was, like, Grand Theft Auto 3 or something. Like, it hadn't finished loading outside.
I was going to say, what was like your what was your knee-jerk reaction to seeing it? Was it just like, whoa, there's a Cybertruck? Or was it like, look at this jackass driving a Cybertruck?
Yeah, it was like, I want to see if I can fit this rock through the windshield. Just test the bulletproof glass.
Yeah, hey, guy, can we throw this rock at the side of your car?
Yeah. Dude, look, I saw it. It's not going to dent it, I promise. Elon said it's like bulletproof.
Oh, boy. Yeah, those things are garbage. Being in Silicon Valley, there's a handful of them around here. And if it wasn't ostentatious enough to be driving around in one of those like shiny silver, like weird shaped trucks, there's this one guy around us that like wrapped it in like a bright orange like wrapping, and it looks horrible. Just horrible. So Cybertrucks are gross. That's all I gotta say.
But the tar pits were cool though. That was my first time going to that. And I was very surprised how little dinosaur representation there was in the it was all like mammoths and like cousins of the camel and like dire wolves and whatever. And I was like, didn't dinosaurs get trapped in tar pits? Like, no one wanted to mention that. But the place was really cool though, and I was surprised that like there's like it's built on the actual tar pits. Like, there's the real tar pits. Like, they had cones outside covering, because like they talked about how, because it's built on the tar pits and stuff, that randomly tar will sometimes pop up in like random places and whatever, and they have to like cover it. And so there's like all these colored cones outside where they were covering tar. So like, we uncovered one and was like playing with the tar. And I was just like, dude, I guarantee you every single one of these cones, a fucking kid died. And they like put the cone to be like, oh man, like, yeah, someone lost their 5-year-old when they went to go like feed a goose or something and then stepped in the tar pit and couldn't get him out. And then they put the cone there to try to ward off other children.
Shit gets dark real fast over there in Justin's world.
Dude, you know, it's just, you know, not watching your kid at the La Brea tar pits, man. They end up as a fucking souvenir in the gift shop. They're
gonna end up fueling somebody's car in like a in like 300 years.
Exactly. But it was really cool. And it was cool that they had like a little lab on site too and stuff, where like they actually go out and pull shit out of the tar pits and clean it and stuff there. So it was a fun experience. It was a nice little weekend. It rained a little bit while I was there, like just very slightly sprinkled. Like it did not rain nearly as hard as what the weather said it was going to.
Well, let me tell you, it opened up on my house. So all of our activities for the weekend got rained out. So with the exception of going to see Zach for his daughter's birthday party.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you were saying that, I was like concerned because I was like, oh, dude, Zach said, you know, it was his daughter's birthday that weekend.
Yeah,
so.
You know, she's got some good luck. And I think it's, you know, just the sheer magnitude of her personality that burned away the rain, because it was up until, like, I want to say it rained up until like 7 or 8 o'clock the night before. And I was like, oh, man, like they have a park, like birthday party, like. I did that with my son like a couple times because his birthday's in March, and it's like a 50-50 shot. Like either it's going to be fine or it's just going to be raining. So I was like, fingers crossed. But luckily the weather held out, and it was like one of those weird days where it was like when the sun was out, you wanted to take your sweater off. But like the minute like a cloud bank would roll in, like you were freezing your butt off and like you wanted your sweater. So there was a lot of like, you know, people like, you know, doing like the whole Houdini thing where it was like, you know, sweater on, sweater off, like real fast. But I had never like heard of this show called The Descendants. It's on a Disney Plus. But apparently like the 7-year-olds are all about it.
That's the talk around the water cooler.
Yeah. So yeah, looks like a bunch of like emo early age, like vampires, like, you know, ready to go right into Twilight when she hits her teenage years. But you know, other than that, it was great. Bouncy houses are always awesome. There was a dope playground there for the kids to play on. So yeah, it was a good experience. I had like maybe like 5 pieces of pizza, a couple cupcakes.
Get it? Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like it was. I'm glad I made it home after that. I needed some toilet time. But yeah, that's been the week. As we stated earlier, Zach isn't here with us tonight. He had a prior obligation. We did try to hold off as long as we could so that A, we had some news to talk about, and B, we had the full contingent. But both of those things fell through this week. It's a very light news week for us. So we wanted to take this time, since recently we had seen some pretty interesting video game related TV shows come out. And Justin and I wanted to talk a little bit about video game properties that we think would turn into good TV series. So Justin, with that being said, why don't you give us one of your top picks for a TV series?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I've noticed that, you know, over the course of the last few years and stuff, we've been getting a lot of video game related TV shows and movies and stuff. Like, we just got The Last of Us, Fallout just came out. I know, you know, we've had stuff like Tomb Raider in the past and Uncharted and stuff like that. So I was really thinking, I was like, man, like, what are some, like, what's the next show? You know, everyone's trying to find the next thing. And one that I thought would be really fun is actually Cult of the Lamb. Like, if they did a like Hell of a Boss style animated TV show that was about Cult of the Lamb, it's like, you know, about him running the cult, and then they'd have like a couple of the like worshipers and stuff that are like key characters, and like there's like the heretic in the camp that's like always getting in trouble, and just like the day-to-day workings of him, he's like trying to like expand the cult and do whatever and have it become like a big thing. And every episode ends with them doing like the ritual and stuff. Like, that'd be great. I think that would be
pretty funny. Yeah, I think if you mix in a little bit of Happy Tree Friends in there too, yeah, like, I think you have yourself a deal.
Yeah, I was like, dude, after seeing Has Been Hotel, I was like, dude, Amazon Prime like should immediately like go to Devolver and be like, look, we want to do this. I think it's a win. What about you? Like, what's one that's on your radar that you think would be good?
I feel like a broken record because I say this a lot, and it's a pretty good video game franchise, but Why don't they just do like a resistance follow?
I knew it. I like look when I look. Brought this up, I knew I was like, dude, number one with a bullet. I was like, Shannon is gonna say resistance follow man.
Why? Well, I mean, like, yeah, it would be great. Granted, it would be very heavy on the special effects and it would cost a shit ton. So it'd probably be like one of those like HBO or like Max or HBO. Like, I don't think it would be good on Netflix. I think you need like a pretty substantial budget behind it. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be great. You could also do like, I mean, didn't they try Gears of War?
I know it's been talked about for years and years and years about doing like a Gears of War movie. And then I think that changed into like a show and like Dave Bautista really wanted to like be in on it and stuff, which I still think he would probably be a great fit for the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just one of those things, like it's never happened. And it's like, I could totally see it being like, you know, a 10 episode, whatever series on Max or Prime or, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those two, like I think, you know, Elder Scrolls, like Skyrim could probably work, but then it's like one of those things where I'm like, we have House of the Dragon, like we have The Witcher, like, do we really need another, like one of those shows? Like it could probably make it work and it would be good, but I'm just like, do we really need like another fantasy, like, dragon whatever type show like that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a good Titanfall, like give me a Titanfall show. Mm. That would be great. I mean, it really, I mean, like everything, I mean, I think that's the problem with a lot of video game shows is like they're so heavily reliant on CGI.
Yeah.
And CGI is expensive nowadays, like, you know, it's like to get those crisp graphics and to make it look good, it costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time. So let's try to think of something that's practical, like a light on the special effects, but story rich, like
like a Doki Doki Literature Club TV show.
I mean, what about Alan Wake? I mean, you could do that without a lot of special effects, right? It's more of like of what you don't see is more suspenseful and thrilling than what you do see, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like it would have a good amount of practical, like, but I feel like a lot of it would be more so, like, just not, like, with a dragon, like, you know, they're creating something out of complete nothingness, whereas, like, mm-hmm. Alan Wake, I feel like most of the effects would be more, like, overlay type effects, like, over the people having, like, the wiggling, like, effect and stuff, and with, like, the lighting and like some of the crazy like camera angles and stuff they do, they'd probably want some like high equipment to produce that with. But I think that's a good call too. Or something in the horror, like Dead Space.
Ooh, that'd be rough. A lot of makeup.
Yeah.
But I mean, they could do it. I mean, they did it with The Walking Dead, right? I mean, like they had hundreds of people in decomposing makeup. I don't see why, you know, wouldn't be a struggle to do that.
And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, like maybe make it in like, you know, 6 episodes or something like that. And then like you can do your season 2 then once it gets renewed or whatever for like, you know, the 10 episodes or whatever, a little bit longer of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily need to follow the games or whatever. It can just be like something in the world or whatever, like maybe before the mm-hmm. marker or whatever, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I always just, anytime that they came out with something that was lore for that, like, I always just felt creepy and dirty. Like, every time I watched, like, the animes or anything like that, I was just like, ooh, no, like, I can't do this. But, yeah.
If they weren't already making a movie, I would say Borderlands.
Borderlands would be good. I mean, why don't we go the same route and do like a Saints Row? Like that show would never end because it would just be like a gang. I mean, it's kind of like this fake gang that like really doesn't, it's kind of loosely based in, I mean, like there's like a loose plot that they're like a gang and they're always trying to get like more of the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, you can make that like a weekly procedural thing, like where it's like every week is a different thing. Like it's comedy. It's not always drama. Like, you could do the same thing with, like, Yakuza. Like, I mean, you could come out with a Yakuza series that would probably be the same way, a little bit more over the top and a little bit more campy, but would be a lot more fun to watch than,
yeah,
like, you know, some of these heavier shows that we're talking about. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, franchises out there right now. Like, okay, which franchises do you not want to see be turned into a a TV series? Animal Crossing.
Really? Like, it's funny because, like, in Japan, I think they have, like, a couple, like, little Animal Crossing, like, animated movies and stuff like that that have just, like, never come over here. But I could totally kind of see something like that, too. Like, I think Animal Crossing could be good, but it's one of those things where it's just, like, you know, part of the fun of Animal Crossing is actually, like, doing the thing. And so it's, like, you know, how much fun would it be to just watch, like, these people, unless it was, like, really funny or, like, whatever. If it was just, like, a cute little slice of life type thing, I don't know, like, how long that could realistically last before you're just kind of, like, all right, like, I get it, but, like, nothing's really happening in this. But I know there's some, like, you know, Nintendo ones that it's just, like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm still iffy about, like, I know Miyamoto came out and said they're doing a Legend of Zelda movie and stuff, but it's just, like, having, like, Link either, A, be a talking protagonist or do, like, the he's not talking, like, gag and everyone else kind of play along with it. Like, if they were to try to do that as, like, a TV show, which I know was also heavily rumored, like, the longest time, they're like, oh, dude, there's going to be a Netflix Legend of Zelda TV show. But I don't know. It has, like, the potential to work, but it's kind of like you said, like, with, like, the wardrobe and, like, the whatever, like, that I think would also require a good amount of CG and stuff, so it would be very expensive to do. But
yeah. I think if you're going to do... I mean, like, that's the thing, is Nintendo lends itself to, like, cartoons and animation so well, right? Like, I think there have been multiple, like, Kirby cartoons. You know, I think the Super Mario Brothers have been animated a handful of times as well, in addition to the movies that just came out, which crushed it. I'm trying to think if there's, like, a franchise that I would, that Nintendo had that I would want to see in a TV series, and I can't. Metroid. Oh, do Metroid.
I could fuck with a good Metroid, especially, like, I could do live action. Like, I think animated would also be really good for Metroid, but I know if Zach was here, one that Zach would probably also throw in that he would want to see. This is going to be a pool here, but he always talks about Lost Planet, the game on the 360 with the snow, where it's like the snow and the whatever. I think that would be, like, a pretty good, like, you know, couple season, whatever, like, people trapped up in this, like, Snowpiercer type shit, where it's like they're trapped in the snow and they're trying to get out and do whatever. That'd be, like, I feel like a fairly, like, reasonably, like, budgeted type movie and stuff that you could do.
I just see Zach, like, turning on the TV and going over to, like, the child's Netflix account so he can watch Viva Pinata in, like, in some type of cartoon.
Zach would, and then it's like the one pinata is played by George Lopez, and then it's like Seth Rogen's one. He's like comes into the guy.
Oh man. Oh dude, I need to tell you. So I know this is kind of in, like, the what we've been watching kind of thing, but or the spoiler zone, but I watched Kung Fu Panda 4 this week. And let me tell you, like, I watched Kung Fu Panda 1 through 3 for the additional voices in the show. Like, so not just Jack Black, but, like, Seth Rogen, Jackie Chan, and, like, all of the other people that were in the Fab Five or whatever you want to call them. They got rid of all of them. Like, this is a Jack Black. This is Jack Black and Awkwafina for an hour and 45 minutes. And I don't know if those two voices mesh well together, but
dude, that's kind of a shame, because I thought I had heard that those people were coming back. Were they not in the... So, Hunt, A, were they not in the movie at all? But what I wanted to say was that Megan has watched 1 through 3 of Kung Fu Panda religiously. So I have also seen those movies numerous times. And I thought it was so funny when Megan wanted to, like, go to the movies, the one that I'm like, oh yeah, let me see, like, what's coming up or whatever movie wise. And I was like, oh dude, I'm like, Kung Fu Panda 4 is out. You want to go see that? And she deadpan looked at me in the face and was like, no. Like, she, who loves 1 through 3, did not even want to go see 4. She's like, I'll just wait for it to come out on, like, Prime or whatever. Like, she did not want to go see it in theaters.
Yeah, it's not as, I'll tell you right now, it's not as good as the other three. It, out of the 4, it is the weakest one, I think. Which is a bummer.
And why would you say that is, though? Like, is it because those other characters aren't in it, or was, like, the plot itself just, like, not that engaging?
Yeah, so both. So, like, you know, it's a solo journey, right? Which kind of sucks. Because it's basically, they're doing the same thing that, like, Disney did with Cars, right? So, like, you know, the Kung Fu Panda is, like, the Dragon Warrior, but he's getting old, so, like, he can't be the Dragon Warrior anymore. He needs to move on to, like, the next phase of his Kung Fu career, which is to be, like, the Sage Council, and then everybody else, so he needs to find a successor, essentially. So it's, like, they do the callback to, like, the very first movie where, like, he's sitting down and they're doing, like, the, you know, the demonstrations of power, and he has to pick one of the people. And then he's just like, oh, I can't really pick somebody like this way. This isn't the way that I want to do it. And then, you know, hijinks ensue. And then, like, while this is going on, he's like, he doesn't want his career to be over in that aspect. So he's, you know, trying to drag it out, and he's looking for, like, one last mission to go on, like, so he could prove that he's still young and with it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it just, you know, he proves to himself that it's time for him to let go, and it's time for somebody else to take over. And that's pretty much the story. So it's, you know, and then the other parts of his team members, they don't come in until the credits, essentially. That's when they come into and they don't have any speaking lines, right? So it's just like, you could just have, like, the characters there without them speaking. So you're just like, whatever, dude.
They and have then, them, like, all meet in a library at the end, and he, like, goes to talk to them, like, shh.
That's pretty much, he finds this person that he's going to train, and he's like, I'm training you. And then, you know, the character's like, well, who else is going to train me? And then he's like, these guys. And then, like, they all show up, and then Jack Black starts singing Hit Me Baby One More Time. And then while he's, like, you know, doing his song, like, they're all, like, karate chopping it up in the background.
It sounds like such a cop out, man. Like, that's wild.
It's like I said, it's not the best one. Like, and then, you know, I think you know, Poe's, like, dad, adopted dad and real dad, like, they're in it for a minute, and, like, they keep doing, like, the same thing, like, over and over. Every time you see him, they're just, like, bickering about, you know, should we be doing this? Should we be trying to protect him? Like, he's old enough. He doesn't need our protection. But yes, he does need our protection. We're his dads. We're always going to be here. You know, and then they do the same joke. Like, you know, they walk into a room, and the panda, because he kind of looks like, you know, Poe, he's like, you know, he pretends to be the Dragon Warrior. And it's like a 50-50 shot on whether sometimes the people believe him or don't. And when they do believe him, it's pretty funny because of what happens. And when they don't believe him, it's pretty funny. But, like, that joke kind of wears itself out pretty fast. So you're just like, okay, here's another one of those breaks. But
they're like, oh, yeah, they call back.
Yeah. So it was just meh. Just meh.
Well, that's kind of a bummer. I'm sure I will get to see it at some point. It will probably grace my television in the near future when it actually, like, comes out streaming somewhere. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't, unless you're a diehard, I wouldn't buy it. Like, but, you know, we were in the lurch, and we were looking for something for my son to do, and it popped up. I was like, hey, you might want to try this. So I was like, well, we have the other three, so might as well. Yeah, you're like, out.
What's one more at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, going into it blind, I was like, you know, these are usually pretty good. Like, so I'm not going to worry about this, but they did me dirty, I feel.
They did you dirty. That's how they got. They put out three good movies just so that they knew they could stick you with the fucking
fourth. Yeah, they can mail in the fourth one. I was like, damn it.
They're like, this guy's not going to do his research. He's just going to click to buy now. And then we got his money. His card's already on the file.
Yeah, pretty much. He's desperate. He's got a kid he's trying to entertain desperate. Right now. yeah, so now we don't have to go over that later. That's good. But yeah, it was a bummer. Now we're watching Planet Earth, and we're getting that ugly taste out of our mouth.
Yeah, you're like, get it out.
Well, and that was the thing too. Like, I didn't get it. Like, so my wife was sitting there watching it with us. We get to the end. Jack Black starts singing his song with the Hit Me Baby One More Time cover. And I'm like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. I'll give him that. And then he starts getting into like the end of it and he's really like breaking it down. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then my wife just turned it off. And I was like, this is the best part of the movie. And you just turned it off.
This is the most I've enjoyed the movie thus far. And you turned it off.
She's like, I'm sorry. We could watch, we could go through the movie again and you could watch it. I was like, no, I'm good.
You're like, are you trying to torture me? You're like, no. You're like, I will go on YouTube and I will find this last little minute that I was missing. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll just download the song. It's okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I mean, we don't have any other news. Are there any other shows that you wanted to talk about being turned in, or video game properties being turned into movies or games or, no, or TV shows?
I think we covered quite a few. I know, as for what we've been playing, it's been Helldivers.
Have you played more Helldivers since? Because I know with your trip, you weren't able to play too much. We played a little bit like at the end of last week, but I haven't been able to play since. I think I played one game on Saturday, and that was about it.
No, I've only played since the last time when I played with you. And then, you know, we tried to link up with Dan. From the Discord and stuff to play, and then that ended up not happening, unfortunately. So at some point we'll have to try that again.
Yeah, I'm hoping, like, so Thursday I have to do, so my son's got is in baseball, and as a part of that we have to do some we have to donate some of our time, so I'm doing the Snack Shack for my son's baseball
team. Hell yeah, dude. Shannon's working the Snack Shack. Yeah,
come on by. I'll give you some chips and some ices.
More like the Shannon Shack, you know what I'm saying?
But yeah, so I'm hoping that maybe Friday or Saturday we can get some timing, because I just unlocked the like 500 kilogram orbital, like the and I want to try it so bad. Because that thing just decimates when it hits the ground, and I think it'll be pretty funny if like I miss and it hits like something closer to us. But I did go on just to see what the automatons were doing, to see what their stratagems are or what their attacks are now that they've launched this countermeasure on us. And I will tell you, medium difficulty is a little bit more challenging now, because like even if you take out the bases where they are produced, I don't know where they come from, but like dropships coming from out of nowhere and just carpet the whole area in robots.
I was gonna say, I forgot. I did play a game. I played with my friends Matt and Corey the one night, and they were doing hard. And both of them are like, Corey was like almost level 30.
Jesus.
Matt was like in the height, like mid 20s. He's like 23, 24, whatever. And then I'm over here like level 7. So they were like carrying me through these like games we were playing. And we did one where there was like switches for like the base or whatever, where you're like opening and closing doors and stuff. And like we did that. But the third one that we did, I don't know. They picked our dropping point and they dropped us into what was probably the worst place that you could go, because there was no regrouping. Like as soon as we dropped in, like we were getting shot at and like people were dying, and it was like, oh God. And I'm trying to like run away to get out of them. Like, okay, let's just run. Let's regroup. I need to get like my special like weapon drop. Like, let's like get this going. But it's like every direction I ran, there was like another group of like 7 of them like together. It's just like, Jesus Christ. And it's like the big armored dudes, and like they take a lot to try to kill. And then like more and more stuff when people were like rocket launching at me and stuff. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I could not find a place to like get my footing. And what happened so fast that Matt and Corey were like permadead. Like they could not come back anymore. And it was just me. And it got to the point where we were trying to get to the extraction point, and I had no more stim packs. Like I'm on like two, like literally like 2 more hits and I'm like fucking dead. Like my health, it's like all bloody around the screen, and I'm just running. people are shooting at me and I'm running, and then I'm trying to like hide for a second to like just build up more stamina and keep going. Like 90 seconds is like on the clock, and it's like, dude, you need to get to the extraction point. And like I see it and I'm like going, like running, everyone's trying to chase me, and then someone like killed me with like 40 seconds left, whatever. But I was like getting so close to the extraction, I'm like, I'm gonna get us the fuck out of here, and I just could not close that deal.
Yeah, no, it's very important, I think, when you get to like the challenging missions, to have somebody with a jetpack, because that way they can just jump up onto like a ledge or like a small platform and just lay flat, and then just like not have to worry about getting shot at. You know, it's like you could just kind of cheat the system that way by like just kind of staying up and out of the way where you don't get picked off. But yeah, it's like it's like when you get to into the challenging and the hard ones, like you have to really kind of learn. You don't have to shoot everything on the screen. Like, you know, if you see patrols, like you don't have to engage them, like try to go the opposite way that they're going. Right.
Oh yeah. I actively did not want to engage them. I'm like, please leave so I can continue going this way, 'cause I do not need to fight anything right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, like it goes quickly from being able to play the game by yourself to like, I need a squad. I need to look and see like which mission somebody is doing so I can jump in with them, so I'm not alone.
Right.
But yeah, if you got a solid squad that you could play with, and it sounds like you got like two other guys that play pretty regularly, I think you'll do pretty good in that game.
I know. I do really want to play with, you know, it'd be nice to actually play with both you and Zach at some point.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of all depends on Zach at this point. Because I'm down. I'm down to clown. Mondays and Tuesdays pretty much are like my nights to kind of just, you know, play video games. And then, you know, if I know that you guys are going to be on the weekends, I'll make some time. But yeah, it'll be good. I just got another game I just picked up. So that I could play it in bed. So Helldivers is on the Steam Deck, and it's got the yellow like circle with the eye in the middle, basically telling me that like I can play this on the Steam Deck, but there might be a chance it's not going to play too well. So I'm like tempted. Do I double dip so I could play this in bed? But then I saw that, was it that racing game that we played that was also golf, like it was like Rocket League.
Oh, the turbo golf or whatever.
Yeah, so that came out for the Steam Deck, and I was like, oh, that's much more of a chill experience and going to bed. So I picked that up for $4.99. It was on sale this past weekend, and I've been playing that pretty extensively. Dude, they've supported the heck out of that game. Like they got different balls. Like they got a whole pack full of different like balls that you can get that you can push around. They got different cars, like a whole mess of different cars. I was like, dang dude.
I had a lot of fun when we played. I honestly played that game for probably like a solid month straight when mm-hmm. we played it. Like every night it was like, yeah, let's get a couple rounds of this in before bed. Like I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude, that game's rad. And it holds up pretty well on the Steam Deck. It's like the perfect Steam Deck game. So, dude, I don't know what happened to Yakuza, but like that game's just sitting there staring at me all longingly every time I turn on my Steam Deck. And I was just like, not tonight, guys. Not
and,
tonight.
And it's staring at you, and then Final Fantasy's on the shelf. Like, what am I, fucking chopped liver over here?
Hey, remember me? No, shut up. I need
like
more time.
Still in the plastic. Like, ooh, it's hot in here. Come let some steam off over here.
No, I can't do that. Not yet. Well, I know we're going through this at a pretty fast clip, but I think that's all we've been playing, right?
Yeah, you know, I hear some sirens.
Oh, there are a lot of sirens, especially with what we need to talk about. There's a lot of sirens.
leading into our video game conversation, into TV show, is the whole thing that brought this up is, which I'm sad Zach's not here to also talk about it, because it is one of the few times I think in a long minute since like probably one of the Marvel TV shows that Zach, Shannon, and I have all watched an episode of something, and it's the new Fallout show.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I thought the first episode was very well done. It did seem surprisingly long, though. Like, it did seem like they were trying to cover a lot, and it felt like, I know there was like three different stories, three different people that they were trying to cover in that first episode, but I don't know. I think that could have been, they could have doled it out into three different episodes, but I liked it. I thought it was good.
So how many episodes have you only seen the first episode?
Yeah, so far, yes.
Okay. I do want to say I 100% agree. That was one of the, after watching the first episode, that was one of the number one opinions I had, was this felt like an hour long TV show. Like, don't get me wrong, like, it is an hour long. Like, every episode is like an hour and like 3 minutes or something is like what the actual runtime is. And but you know, there's shows like House of Dragon that are the same thing. It's like an hour long, but that show feels like it goes like through in like 30 minutes. Like this, I'm like sitting there like, holy shit, there's still like 20 minutes left of this show going on right now. And it wasn't bad. Like, you're right. I honestly was surprised at how good it was, but it's just like, yeah, it felt like a commitment to get through that first episode.
Yeah. And also, my wife, who I was watching it with, she is not a big like video game lore like person, right? So she knew that this came from a video game, but she didn't know like anything about it. So she turned to me maybe like halfway through that first through Lucy's story. Mm-hmm. Like, basically when the other vault comes over and like all hell breaks loose. I guess this is a spoiler zone, so we don't have to really like sugarcoat it.
Yeah,
so
we are in the spoiler zone. So okay.
So spoilers if you haven't watched it yet. So Lucy basically is in Vault 33. And you know, she's in this vault, and we don't know how many people are there, but apparently the pickings are slim for people to hang out with and date. It's because she's been doing a lot of cousin stuff, is how they explained it in the in the show. So she's like, I'm going to put in this application so I can go to like another vault and just fuck. But anyway,
loose.
Yeah. So like she like is approved to go to this other place. And basically it means you're just going to marry like the first person that they throw through the vault door. So they open the vault, these people come through, and you're like, hey, this is cool, this is gonna be something weird. And then like they get married, and like, you know, they show the wedding and everybody's happy, and then very quickly you learn that like the actual Vault 32 people were all basically murdered by marauders and or scavengers, and they're the ones that are infiltrating Vault 33. And then, you know, all hell breaks loose. People getting stabbed in the face, people getting shot, people getting like just stabbed. Some, you know, pretty crazy like battle sequences happen, which are pretty, you know, pretty, in my mind, while they were pretty like violent, they were also very well done. And I liked a lot of the symbolism, like, you know, in the beginning they have like the nuclear bombs going off, and then like when they're battling and like the film breaks, like you have that same effect in the background. So it's just kind of like, you know, nothing is safe kind of like mentality. But, you know, my wife is like, is this how it was in the video game? Like, and I was like, well, in the video, each video game, like there's four video games, like five if you count like 76, Fallout 76. But, you know, each video game is its own story with its own different vault. So, I mean, like you could technically say that this is a different vault and this is just that story there. So it doesn't really have to relate to the video game in anything other than the basic principle, right?
Yeah.
So that's Lucy's kind of story, and then it breaks into like it pans to like, you know, people outside the vaults, right? Like these other like the Brotherhood of Steel, there's a character there, what's his name, Maximus. Yeah. And then there's, of course, the, you know, the faceless man who was a cowboy, I guess, in the before times.
Yeah, Cooper. Dude, yeah. Which, speaking of which, I love that actor.
He's rad.
Yeah, yeah. Walter Goggins is his name or whatever. Like, I've loved him since I saw him in Justified. He played Boyd Crowder. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sorry, but he is forever typecast as just a bad guy. Like, he has one of the, like, he is never going to be like the husband in a Hallmark movie. I think he is always going to be like the dude that like murdered seven hookers with a fucking crowbar. Like, he is always that type of character because he just plays it so well.
Which is funny, though, because when you see him in the beginning, you're like, oh, he's probably, he's going to get a chance to be a good guy. And then, like, you know, all hell breaks loose and you're like, ah, nope, he's just going to be this, like, crazy dude like everybody.
Dude, so the scene with him and his daughter when they're, like, wrapping up the party and stuff, and she's like, why didn't you do the thumbs up? And he's like, well, he's like, because of, like, what's going on right now. And he's like, you know what they say, when you see a mushroom cloud, you close one eye and put your thumb up. And he's like, and if it's smaller than your thumb, then you need to run. And she's like, okay, but what happens if it's bigger than your thumb? And he's like, well, in the military, if it's bigger than your thumb, there's no point in running because you're not going to make it out alive. And then he goes inside to get her the piece of cake. And then you see the giant white, like, flash of light. And then you see her holding up her thumb. And she's like, Dad, what happens when it's a lot bigger than your thumb? And he, like, turns and looks. And it's like, oh, shit. And then, like, the entire glass house, like, shatters and everyone's running. I was like, Jesus Christ. That's like, that terrifying.
Yeah, and then of course you see, like, all hell break loose and, like, everybody's punching everybody else and people getting, like, run over and, like, shit. Like, you're just like, oh my gosh. And then it wasn't just like one explosion too, right? It was like four. Like,
oh yeah,
and,
like, it was like rows. Like, they started just popping up everywhere.
Yeah, it was nuts. But I think it was shot well. I didn't really understand what was happening with the person who was supposed to go out with the knight Titus, like the first person, like they got their boot. What, there was like a razor blade in their boot, or was,
yeah,
there like
it was
five,
like,
razor blades in their boot? I don't know.
Yeah, someone lined up razor blades around where they would slip their foot into the boot, so they like got, like, lacerated their, like, ankle and stuff. So they got laid up in bed. So Maximus ended up getting, like, promoted into their position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it was, I think, I don't know. I didn't really care for the Brotherhood of Steel too much. I think that was, to me, that was, I think, the weakest part. I mean, seeing the battle armor was dope. But, like, I think as far as story goes, there wasn't a lot of development there. I would have rather seen more of Lucy, like, getting out into the world. And then I would have rather seen more of Walter's character and, like, what his motivations were going to be, you know?
I will say, so since I am on episode 6 of 8,
mm-hmm.
So I've been watching it a lot today, and I agree. I think out of the three storylines, I think Maximus is probably the weakest. I get a lot of like Force Awakens vibes from the show. It's like when it's like here's the black guy who gets befriended by the innocent white girl, and then they go off together, and then there's this guy who's going, he's fucking crazy, and like, you know, he and like the white girl like link up and go and do stuff here, and like that's kind of how this is like, you know, it's these separate storylines, and then like multiple of these like Maximus and Lucy like link up at some point and go on this, and then Cooper and Lucy are like together for a while. So it's like these storylines all kind of eventually connect together,
mm-hmm.
to where they're doing stuff with each other. Which, you know, the Brotherhood thing I think is more just like, they never, I guess, really elaborate, like, you know, Maximus has his own shit going on that they, like, explain and stuff, but in terms of, like, doing stuff, like, with the Brotherhood or anything like that, like, Maximus never really, like, is with all these other soldiers or, like, doing whatever. He's always kind of just, like, off doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
The suit, the armor does look really good. Like, it looks good, but it also kind of looks like, you know, some like very talented individual at San Diego Comic-Con made it. And then they just laid over these like pooch like sound effects while walking. I'm like, it's just someone in a very nice Comic-Con suit that they're, mm-hmm. just laying over these like mech sounds while they're walking. But no, I do like Cooper, like Lucy. I liked like, I thought Lucy was okay in the beginning. She's really grown on me a lot more watching her. And it's like, that's kind of like her and like Cooper's dynamic and stuff is like, Cooper's like, obviously like the worst of the world. Like, he's like, yeah, this is the world. Get used to it. Sugar tits. Like, where I'm going to fucking murder people and do whatever. And then Lucy's like the innocent, like, no, in the vault, there's the golden rule. And it's like, do unto others as you want others to do unto you. And like, it's like, she's like the good little Christian girl that mm-hmm. then kind of gets corrupted. Like, Cooper's like, let me show you, like, you're not going to be the same, like, when I get done with you type shit. She's like trying to make it in the world and like realizing that like being the everyone's really good at heart is going to get her fucking killed because that is not the way the world works out there. So she has to fight her way out of these situations constantly.
Yeah, it's I had a question there and I was gonna ask you fuck, I forgot what it was, damn it. I was gonna say, do you see what was it, like a Death Stalker, like the big horned like beasts out in the wild? Do they make an appearance yet?
I have not seen. They have shown a bunch of different creatures and stuff. I don't think that's one of them. I'm not super versed in Fallout. Like, I've played Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. Like, I own them. I've never beaten a Fallout game. So I know kind of like the general world and stuff to a degree, which I think they were incredibly faithful to, like, the towns and stuff you see are really good. And, like, all the signage, the new Coca-Cola stuff is everywhere. And the music, I think, is on point, too. Like, the music is all, like, music from the game. Like, that old kind of, I forget what that's called. Like, whatever hop type, like, music is, like, all throughout the soundtrack, which I think is really good. And they have, like, the giant roaches. And, like, all the different, like, medical items and stuff like that. And I think the cast is really good, too. Like, you know, they have Cooper. They have, like, the one dude from Lost or whatever, Michael Emerson or whatever his name is. Like, there's a lot of famous people in this, which I think, you know, they spent a lot of money on some of the, like, bigger cast people and stuff. But, you know, I've enjoyed it. There's like some mystery to it and stuff, like, you know, they keep bringing up new questions and stuff as to kind of like what's really going on in the world and stuff, like, why was her dad kid, like, we still don't really know why her dad was kidnapped or anything like that. You know, they're starting to question, like, you know, what the other vaults are doing and stuff like that. So there's like a lot of stuff going on in the background of the show that it's like keeping me watching, because I'm like, I want to know like the answers to these questions, and I don't know if we're gonna get full answers. Like, I'm assuming this is getting another season, but you know, it's only 8 episodes, so I don't really know where they're going to end things this season.
So you're more than halfway through right now.
Yeah. I'm like about, I think, halfway through episode 6, and it's only 8 episodes, so I have 2.5 episodes left.
Nice. Now, do you think they did the fans a service by dropping all 8 episodes at one time, or do you think it was a disservice?
Dude, so that's the weird thing, is I know we talked about it a little bit before recording, and I actually initially didn't realize the entire show was out. I only thought the first 3 episodes were out, because usually that's what Amazon does, like with The Boys and Invincible and like a lot of their other shows, is they drop the first 3 episodes and then go to a weekly release date with the other episodes. And so I was shocked when my friend told me that the entirety of season 1 was out at once, because normally they don't do that. And like, it's hard. This isn't really a show that I would say is like a bingeable show. Like, can you, it's like, yes, but it's like each of these episodes is an hour. So it's like, that's 8 hours right there. Like, that's an entire work day right there. And there are people that will do that. There are people that will wake up 8 a.m., fucking sit down, turn on, fall out, watch a couple episodes. It's like, are you still watching? And they hit fucking yes. And, you know, sun's going down and they're rolling credits on season 1. Like, there are people who do that. I don't usually consume media that way. I'm more of like an episode, like a week type person for like different shows. I was just lucky that like I was able to sit down and just like I'd have it on in the background while I'm like reading and like doing whatever too. So it's like, or cooking dinner and stuff like that. So I was able to get through a lot of it a lot quicker than I normally would. But I just found it strange because it's like, what else is on TV right now? Like, I don't think it's really competing with another show. Like, there isn't like a House of the Dragon or a The Last of Us. There isn't like another show like it that it's currently competing for that like network time or anything. So I don't see why release it all at once when you could just do the episode a week thing and you're not really going against anything. Like, it's not like it's super crazy sports or anything like that where you're like, oh, there's not enough people watching TV right now. So I don't know why they would initially choose, unless that was just in the contract for the show, to be like, yeah, we're just going to dump all of them at once and just be done with it.
Or maybe it's just to see how, or you know, maybe they didn't have the faith that people would be interested in the show in the long run. So it's kind of like a gamble right now. Like, you know, okay, maybe season two is going to be, you know, a once a week kind of thing. But like for the first one, they were just like, oh, we don't know how this is going to be. There was no buzz about it, like going into it. So we're just going to offload all of it right now.
Well, and like, I know there was some like, I feel like buzz, like maybe like the week before, like I saw a bunch of stuff. What I really saw was on Twitter when they posted like the poster, whatever, for the show with the girl with her back turned, whatever. People like Photoshopped to make her ass like huge. And they were like, yeah, I'm watching the TV show with mods and whatever. And I saw like a lot of that going on, which I thought was really funny. But yeah, it's just one of those, like, when you dump the entire show like that, I feel like you kill a lot of like your organic interest in it, because then it's like, it's out. People talk about it for maybe a week or two or whatever on Twitter, but then it's like the next thing comes out and then it just kind of gets, unless there's like some controversy or like something around it, like it just kind of gets pushed to the wayside once everyone's watched it. And plus that also leads, there are those people who are the 8 to 5ers that watch the entire season and then they go on Twitter and they're like, I can't believe they killed, you know, McDoodle Pants. And it's like, dude, if the show's been out 2 days, like, and it's 8 on, you're ruining the end of it, even though most people haven't even had a chance to boot it up yet. So at least by watching it weekly, you can't have those people like go on the big, well, you haven't gotten to episode 8 yet where so-and-so dies.
Yeah. I typically, if there's something like that that I'm going to watch, I mute it on X so I don't have to have that problem. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's cool. But yeah, it's definitely not going to be one of those shows that we're going to be able to binge. My wife, after watching the first episode, was like, I'm kind of out, but I'm also kind of like in. Like, you know, she's just like, I don't know if I could watch like a show like one of these a night, like, you know, in succession, like, you know, go through it in a week. But like, she's like, maybe once a week I could sit down and we could like watch this. So this is going to be like one of those like slow burns if like she's like signed on to like watch this with me.
So it was so funny because after watching the first episode, I was kind of like, huh, I wonder if like Megan would watch this. Like, it's pretty entertaining. Like, it's fun. I think she might be into this. Mm-hmm. And then I got to the second episode and there's a part where a dog gets hurt. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is a hard no. Like, she would drop out right here is where that would be the nope, we're not watching this anymore.
It was pretty funny because she turned to me like halfway through season one and she was like, this episode is really horny. Like, whoever was writing this show was just like really just like hornballed out for like this whole first episode, because like, you know, they like the whole like premise of her wanting to go to another vault is just so she can just get laid, right? And then, well, you see the people in the Brotherhood of Steel and like the dude's laying in like the bunk bed and there's this dude jerking it off like right next to him, and I'm just like, oh my god, okay, well maybe you have something here. But yeah,
so with Lucy, see, I kind of take it like, yes, that is part of the reason she wants to go to another vault is so that she can, like, you know, I mean, she's been fooling around with her cousin, whatever. She's like, it's time to move up to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. But part of the thing is, like, you know, as a child, whatever, like, all these people in this vault, like, their mission, like, since they've been born there, or, like, whatever they've been told, is that, like, the outside world is, like, radiation and, like, completely destroyed, and that it's going to be, like, their job to kind of, like, go up there and, like, reproduce and, like, save humanity and whatever. So that's kind of, like, I feel like her motivation is she wants to do her part at, like, bringing forth the next generation that's going to get to, like, live above ground or whatever. And then that's kind of, like, her story arc in the show is, like, her having to go, you know, outside into the actual world and stuff, and come to the realization that there is an outside world, that, like, people have been living out here, and it's not, like, the perfect society or whatever, but it's, like, what they've been trained and told kind of, like, in the vaults is, like, a very closed-minded way of thinking. Like, they've been protected like little baby birds this entire time into what is the real world that has been kind of going on without them, and kind of openly mocks them for being like these little sheltered, like, people in these little tin cans.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna keep watching it, but there's no official news yet that it has a season two coming.
Yeah, not that I know of. I mean, granted, I think the show did also just come out. I wouldn't be surprised if here in, like, the next couple weeks or something, like, an announcement gets made that it's been renewed for season two once, you know, some more people probably get the chance to, like, put some eyes on it. But, I mean, I know, like I said, you, me, and Zach all have been watching it. So, I think, and I think some other people in the Discord have it as well. So, I think that, no, that's like five viewers right there, like, that they got just right here. So if that doesn't get them a second season, I don't know what will.
Yeah, we do carry a lot of weight around here. I mean, like, we don't like to brag, but, like, we have been able to topple economies just by our say-so of yes or
yeah.
No.
Dude, one of Shannon's tweets could make or break a Fortune 500 company at any second right now.
Oh, man, especially, oh, dude, let me tell you what company I am lifting up right now, and it is the company that makes Bluey, because I am behind the Bluey train, let me tell you. So I did a hard pivot here from Fallout, but Disney Plus told us that they were going to, like, hey, guys, like, they started this, like, a month ago. They're like, hey, guys, just letting you know, like, in April, we are doing a 28-minute Bluey episode. And the Bluey fans lost their fucking minds.
They're on the wiki. They're like, are you serious right now?
Like, a 28-minute episode, like, yes, give us this, please. Because I don't, you know, for most people out there who aren't versed in the Blueyverse, the Blueyverse is, like, there's three seasons. Each one is roughly 50 episodes long. And they have 9-minute episodes. So, like, there's nothing over, like, 10 minutes, right? So, like, for them to come out with this that's, like, damn near, like, you know, three times the length of, like, a regular episode, everybody is just like, holy shit.
It might as well be a movie. It's the Bluey movie.
It is the Bluey movie at this point. So, the night before the 28-minute episode comes out, they drop a bonus episode, and it's 9 minutes long, and it's called, like, Ghost Crates, right? Or, you know, Ghost Bins or whatever. And everybody's like, oh, what is this? Okay, cool. Like, let's watch this. And so, like, of course, everybody, like, you know, watches the episode, and it's basically, you know, a typical Bluey episode, but the twist at the end is, like, you know, they're pretending to sell the house, like, with the kids and Bluey. But at the end, it pans out, and there's an actual for sale sign on the front of their house. So everybody's losing their fucking minds because this kid show, like, the parents are selling the house, right? And, like, you know, you've been with them, I mean, granted, for three seasons and you know, 9-minute episodes apiece. So now, like, they're moving, right? So now all these grown-ass adults are taking to Twitter and freaking Facebook talking about how, like, how emotionally distraught they are because they're selling, right? So the next day the episode drops, you know, it's called The Sign, right? So everybody is like, oh, it's about them selling the house. And so there's this whole, like, story where, like, you know, some of the other characters are getting married, Like, you know, they're going to do it in the back of the house. Like, the kids are going through the realization that they're not going to be at this house anymore, that they're going to move. They're moving to a different city. Like, you know, there's, you know, all this anxiety around not knowing if, like, where you're moving is, like, the right choice for your family, for your kids, for everybody, right? So, like, you know, there's the roller coaster of this episode is, like, already weighing on my wife and I. And my son is, like, you know, he's on board and he has questions, too. He's like, there's no way they're selling this house, right? And I was like, I don't know, but, like, I don't know where they're going with this because, like, you know, we've been, you know, big Bluey fans for a while. And, like, you know, it's hard for them to keep up with the demand to come out with new Bluey episodes, especially when they're only 9 minutes long. So, like, people were talking about them, like, taking a long break, like, a long hiatus. Like, you're probably not going to see Bluey for a while. So, like, and then other people were like, well, maybe this is the end of it. Like, you know, and, like, you know, this is where we're going to leave it. So, like, people were like, you better not leave Bluey, like, when they sell the house and then, like, they move off and we don't know what's going to happen. We need to know what happens to this blue dog. So basically it comes down to, like, the end. Where, like, you know, everybody's in the car, they're all miserable, they're all leaving. The dad gets a call saying that, like, you know, they don't, you know, the whole premise of the story is, like, you know, there's a story that the teacher tells Bluey because she's having problems. And it's like, you know, all these things happen and people are like, oh, well, this is really good luck or this is bad luck. And the farmer keeps replying, well, we'll see. Like, you know, we don't know what kind of luck it is. Right now it seems good, but it could be bad later. It seems bad now, but it could be good in the end, right? So, you know, all these things happen, like, throughout the course of the episode that are, you know, might be good, might be bad, but then that all comes together in this, like, perfect storm at the end. And Bluey's dad ends up getting a call from the real estate agent saying that the people that were going to buy their house aren't going to buy the house anymore. And his symbolizing of them not moving out of the house is for him to, in, like, this gigantic effort, like, lift the sign out of the ground and, like, chuck it into the street and then jump on it, right? And then, like, you know, of course, like, at that point, everybody is so relieved. They're not selling the house anymore. They're staying at the house. He's going to find a new job. You know, the mom comes out and jumps on him. The kids come out in a dog pile. My wife is in tears. I'm a mess over in the corner. Like, it's very dusty in this room. Like, my son is like, what is going on over here? I was like, God dang it, you Bluey people. Like, you did it again. You got me. So it is a very good episode. And I am not afraid to say that I am a fan of Bluey. Did you watch the Bluey episode?
So it's funny because I did not watch the full episode, but Bluey did make its way onto my Twitter feed and someone was like, I can't believe they did this, like, whatever, in, like, children's cartoon. And it was that clip and it was them all. It started, though, because I didn't know the context behind everything else. All uh-huh. I saw was it started where everyone was like, loaded into the car, whatever, and they're, like, getting ready to leave, and dad's, like, sitting there, and, like, the Lana Del Rey song, like, whatever fucking comes on, you know, and he gets out, and he's on the phone, and everyone's, like, sad, and then it's, like, him with, like, all his might trying to lift the sign out of the, and you're, like, oh, is he gonna be able to do it, and he does, and flings it into the street, and then his wife tackles him, and I was, like, dude, were they gonna sell the house? Like, I didn't know the full story. So hearing it from you, I'm like, okay, and, like, now in context, all of this makes a lot more sense. But mm-hmm. but no, I'll have to actually watch the full episode. It sounds like it was a monumentous event.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, like, it's a deep, dark rabbit hole, right? Because, like, you're going to watch it, and, like, one of two things is going to happen is you're going to be curious to see, like, what all the hubbub about is with this show. And you're going to like the episode, and then you're going to be like, well, there's 150 episodes of this that I can watch, and I can probably blow through this, like, really quick, because, like, you know, you could watch three episodes in the span of a time it takes to watch one anime episode. And, like, they're great. Like, I mean, like, they're, it's so funny to think that a show that is made for kids is so relatable to adults. I have no shame saying that I like watching Bluey when my son goes to bed.
No, and, like, I have seen episodes of Bluey, like, mm-hmm. Granted, literally almost the entirety of Bluey I've seen was when I was in California visiting you guys, because it mm-hmm. was, like, on TV or, like, whatever. Like, but I watched, like, the where they play the past, the present episode and stuff and do like I saw a bunch of different episodes like where they're like playing like pirates and like the sandbox and stuff and a bunch of different like where they got to build their they built like a little neighborhood house thing or whatever like in their house type thing. So I've seen a bunch of different episodes and it is very entertaining and fun to watch and like the characters like the humor in it is like good for both you know, kids and adults. Like I was entertained and you know I'm in my 30s watching it, so
yeah, I got no problems watching that show. But I don't know, is there anything I already talked about Kung Fu Panda 4. Is there anything else that you watched this week?
No, I mean not really, just a lot of new anime has started.
So My Hero Academia started, right?
Yes, My Hero has been going on. So far, I think it's mainly kind of been, I say like recap type episodes. I haven't watched, I only watched the first one. I know there's like a new one that I need to watch. But yeah, I think right now they're trying to just kind of get you back in the, I guess, like swing of things and stuff since they're going, starting to go into like the big League of Villains, whatever arc and stuff. They want to get everybody who hasn't been, you know, on the pulse of My Hero Academia, like, hey, here's kind of what's been going on the last like seven seasons or whatever to kind of get you up to speed. But there has been some new animes that have been really good. Kaiju number 8. Started.
Okay.
And the general premise is it's essentially kind of like Attack on Titan meets like Pacific Rim type thing. Like kaijus come up from like rifts, whatever, and like attack towns. And this dude is a part of the cleanup unit. So when they kill the kaijus, whatever, they like, he like helps like dismantle their corpses and like do whatever and is a part of like cleaning up the area and stuff. But he always wanted to be a part of the like actual like squadron, whatever team that goes out and actually fights these kaijus. And the chick who is in charge of the team was like his childhood best friend or whatever, and like they both made a promise to each other that they were going to become captains or whatever of this assault team and like kill the kaijus that like wiped out their village or whatever. And this new guy joins the force and he kind of like re-gets that fire lit in him that it's like, you know, like I've kind of settled into this cleanup, whatever thing, but I'm going to work my way, do the test or whatever to get into like the assault corps. And then at like the very end of the episode, he's like in the hospital because they like he got attacked by a kaiju, whatever. And there's this like bug mosquito looking kaiju thing. And it flies into his mouth and he eats it and he transforms into a kaiju, like a human size one at the end of the episode. And that's where it ends. So part of the thing now is like he is part kaiju now and he can like transform into, he has like a kaiju form that he can fight in. So, and then I feel like that's the general premise is like him and like that dude are going to join the assault team, whatever, and he's gonna fight like almost like Chainsaw Man, like fight devils as a devil type situation.
Interesting. So when he turns into a kaiju, does he actually like turn, does he turn into just like a human, you said human sized kaiju, so he's not like,
yeah, he didn't tall. Yeah, he didn't like destroy the building when he transformed, like he was still in the hospital bed, so he's still like the same size, but it was almost like a Power Rangers type like thing where he looks different though, like, you know, he has like, he looks completely different on the outside, but he like transformed.
Cool.
So that's going on. I think I've talked about this show before, but Konosuba season 3 started, and Konosuba God's Blessing on This Wonderful World is what the anime is called.
Okay,
but the general premise is there's the main character Kazuma. He dies and he's gonna like get reincarnated into this other world or whatever, and so he's kind of in this purgatory area with this goddess, and she's like, yeah, you know, you're gonna be reborn in a new fantasy type world, it's gonna be great. She's like, and part of a gift as to going to this other world is you can have like bring any one thing like with you into this new world. Like it could be this like cool fancy weapon, it can be this, it can be that, you get to pick. And she ends up making fun of him because of how he died, because he died like trying to save some kid and he got ran over by like a wagon and whatever. And she's like, funny enough, she's like, had you not tried to save the kid, he would have been perfectly fine and whatever. So you like died for no reason. And then like you craft yourself like when you died. So it was like the most embarrassing way possible. And so she's just laying into him. So then out of spite, he chooses her as the one object to bring into the other world. So he sucks her out of purgatory. He takes a god out of purgatory and brings her into this fantasy world. And they're like broke ass bitches. So they like become like adventurers, and they like put together this team of other misfit people where this chick is a magician and all she can do is exploding magic. But once she casts one spell, it like drains all her mana and she can't move anymore. So then she has to just like lay there. And then there's a holy knight who is like enjoys she's like a glutton for punishment and stuff, and like enjoys getting the like crap beat out of her and stuff, and like it turns her on. So she's like a giant masochist and like gets embarrassed by it, but her getting embarrassed, like she enjoys that even more because she feels that's like a form of punishment. So she's like being screamed at in the middle of the street and she's like blushing because of like how happy she is that she's being like reprimanded in the street. So they all hate each other, and well, they don't hate each other, like they have fun, but they're like none of them are good people, and like bad things happen to them constantly, and like no one's like sad that bad things like happen to them because like they're all kind of scumbags in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But they like form this kind of like family and like go on adventures and stuff together. But the humor in it is hilarious. And like, I slept on it for the longest time, and then I binged the first two seasons, and then there's a movie.
Oh,
that
wow.
That happens before season three. And that's the thing I like too. The movie is important. Like the movie actually plays a role, like, in season three, like within the first 5 minutes, it's like if you didn't see the movie, you wouldn't have any idea what's happening here. Which is funny because like in the movie, there is this like, what is it called? It's like almost like a, I guess, Hydra, whatever. It's like a woman's body, but she has like a like top half, but then a snake lower half. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And she has like wings and like kind of like Medusa, very Medusa-ish. And she ends up, Kazuma, she ends up taking him, and like she had like these like tentacle things, whatever, and like brought him like in, and she had like massive tits, and so he's like sandwiched between them, and he's like, yeah, whatever, this is great, like I don't want to move. And then he realizes something's poking him, and it's because she has a dick, and it's like rock hard behind him. And so the beginning of season three is him being traumatized from that, and he's like has nightmares every night that she's behind him, and so he can't sleep at night, and he's like, I'm gonna become a monk or like whatever. He's like, this fucking sucks, like, life sucks, I hate this. And he ends up like finding this magic mallet that like what every time you swing it a coin falls out, so it like prints money. And then he doesn't give a shit anymore, and she's like haunting his dreams, and he's like, I'm rich, bitch, like haunt me all day, I can buy my way out of anything now, like life is great. And then like 5 seconds later the mallet gets stolen. Oh. So then he's like broke again, and he's like, fuck my life, I hate my life, like nothing good ever happens to me.
Highs and lows, man, the highs and lows.
Yeah, the highs. So that's really good. And then like the last new one that like I highly recommend, which I want there to be a couple more episodes before, especially before you start watching it, but it's called a Go-Go Loser Ranger, which I've talked about the manga before. I read it. It's really good. The anime just came out. It has 2 episodes right now. Yes. General premise is that giant floating fortress comes from the sky one day, and there's like putty, like Power Ranger type monsters, and they tried to take over the world, and the Rangers or the Dragon Force or whatever it is they're called in the show, beat the crap out of them and like their bosses, and essentially sign them into a contract that's almost like slavery, where every Sunday they have to put on like a big show where they send the monster out and then the Rangers fight them, and they just do that forever. right? Because they don't die, they don't whatever, but their job is to always lose every Sunday. And one of the putty dudes is like sick of it. He's like, I'm sick of losing. Like, all the bosses are dead. I hate this. Like, I want to kill them. Like, I'm going to kill the Rangers. So he like has, they all have the ability to transform or whatever, but he's really good at transforming. So he takes the form of a human. And he wants to, he goes through the Ranger like training camp and stuff. And he's like, I want to learn how they work, like where they live, whatever, and work my way into the Ranger force and then kill them from like the inside and like dismantle this organization. But as he soon finds out, there's this one chick like who he initially meets in his like human form. And she's a part of the Yellow Rangers team. And she knows that he's like a monster. And that she knows that he's trying to, and she's like, I want you to infiltrate them. I want you to kill the Rangers, and I'm going to help you do it. And she's like, I want to see like what you can do and whatever. So she's like helping him try to destroy the thing that she like also works in and stuff. So it has some like very interesting twists and turns, but like episode one is literally just chapter one of the manga. And like each manga is like, sometimes six or like eight chapters. So the fact that like the first episode is just baby's first chapter, I'm like, it seems incredibly slow. Like right out the gate. Episode two was a lot quicker. They knocked a couple more chapters out and like shit's actually happening now. But that's why I want there to be like four episodes or whatever before, because it has the same problem that Solo Leveling has, is where it's like, it's really good, but it takes a couple to like get into it. And I feel like a lot of people, if they just watch it when there was only episode one, whatever, like my friend Shane did that. And he's like, dude, I don't know. It was kind of slow. It was like a little boring. And I'm like, look, I get that. I'm like, but watch episode two and just like, wait, like it's going to pick up. Like there are some dope fights coming ahead. Right. We just barely got to meet the Rangers and like they're all fucking psychopaths. That's like the twist is it's like the boys essentially with the power. Like they are not good people. The majority of the Power Ranger people are not good people. Like the Red Ranger is pretty much Homelander and he's like fucking crazy. So and like you get to see a little bit of that in two, but I'm like, just you wait, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know where season one's gonna end, and it's gonna end really good, and we just need to get there. So, but I don't want people to get turned off by it, be like, oh, this is kind of weird. And so it's like, no, just give it a couple episodes. It's going to pick up and you're going to love it.
Nice. I'll add it to the list.
Yeah. It's on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Well, that one's on Hulu. The other two are on Crunchyroll, but
nice.
But yeah. So that was our little anime hour there at the end.
Great. I'm glad we saved it till the end so that Zach can fast forward straight on to daylight. So I guess that means we have a show. So, Justin, do you want us to do us the honors and bring us out of here?
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. You know, Zach couldn't be with us tonight. T's and P's in chat, but head on over to the Discord. Let us know, what are some video games you think would make good video game shows that maybe HBO Max or Amazon might want to pick up? And while you're at it, head on over to Spotify. Give your boys a review. Let us know how we're doing. And Shannon, since Zach's not here, what do you think Zach would say?
I think Zach would say, go be great.
I thought that's what Robbie would say.
Zach would say, I don't care what you do, get off my porch.
I've heard Zach say that. He has said that to me before. I know he would say that.